Back together again, you and I, wrapping up a very busy election week, Friday, November 8th, 2024, on Connecticut Today, where I started the show highlighting a report in the New Haven Independent about a high-profile Bridgeport political operative's alleged role in some questionable marriage arrangements. State Senate Republican leader Steve Harding dropped by to talk about those allegations, as well as a couple of General Assembly races with ballot questions. And finally, Catholic Vote and Loop executive editor and Connecticut resident Erica Ahern talked about the role that Catholic voters played in returning Donald Trump to the White House on Tuesday.
All right, I'm going to start the show here with a little homework assignment, right? And Friday homework assignments were always the best in school, right? Because you had the entire weekend to do it. It wasn't like Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. Friday night, it was like, okay, he's he or she or brother or father or sister, whom or Ms. or Mrs., whomever you had as a teacher giving you homework. They were like, well, okay, I just want you to read this over the weekend. Usually, I remember, well, sometimes weekend homework was just reading. You didn't have to do anything, no problem solving when you took algebra, trig, or geometry. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a weekend reading assignment here. And it's long. It's a little lengthy. It's not a book. It's an article. And as everybody is sitting back, and you'll get deluged this weekend with, well, why did the election turn out the way it is? You can bounce back to this. This article I'm going to recommend to you can be kind of a study guide here to this whole thing. And it's from the New Haven Independent. Now, I'm going to have Paul Bass on the program in about an hour and a half. Paul will join us at the bottom of the hour, right after the 3:30 news from ABC and Chris Williams. So, I'm going to have Paul on. He wrote an excellent piece. He's getting laudits on this piece from a lot of journalism people I know. And it's in the New Haven Independent. So you can go to the New Haven Independent, or to make it easy for you, I have put it on our Facebook page. So go to facebook.com/voiceofct, facebook.com/voiceofct. Once again, facebook.com/voiceofct. And as I look at it right now, it is the top thing, the top posting from us here at WICC. By the way, we're celebrating our 98th birthday. How about that? And the headline in the article is thusly: Arrested Paul, meaning politician, but that's accepted for a headline. Arrested politician builds marriage biz or business. That arrested politician, and let me be careful here, I'm not accusing anybody of any law breaking at all. I'm just kind of being an aggregator here, pointing you to where I see the light. Look. There's the light, and saying you should read this. We are talking about the one and only, yes, Wanda Jeter Pataki, who is still facing, I guess, some possible charges in some of the 2019 alleged absentee ballot shenanigans, who is still facing some alleged possible charges in alleged, I just like saying it, 2023 absentee ballot shenanigans in Bridgeport. She just lost her job as a $65,000 a year greeting people. I'd like to do that someday. Maybe when I get too old to do this, they'll wheel me in someplace and I can greet people. And when I saw this story, I said, well, for Paul Bass's side to be covering this, which is pretty much a New Haven-centric site, I said to myself, well, this is interesting here. And then you get about four paragraphs in. And I'm going to read some of this to you as we make our way through the first hour here. Now, it's a lengthy story. It's great in-depth reporting. It's what local newspapers, news outlets still do very, very, very well, and why they deserve our clicks, maybe even a subscription price or two, payment or two, because it is what it is. Journalism does not function largely without local area weekly or daily papers or websites or newspapers. It just doesn't. Trust me. I've been doing this 40 years. It just doesn't. So when you look at this, you start to read this, and I said, well, maybe we can tie this to what happened this past Tuesday, because people will be driven only so far. Now, I'm not saying this story directly affected how people voted on Tuesday, but when you hear this, coming off of other shenanigans we've heard about all across the country, all across the state, in Bridgeport, in Hartford, in New Haven, when it comes to who should be in this country and who should not be in this country, and is the American system, our system of family-oriented unification, our system of being benevolent, when that becomes our Achilles heel, that's when people get angry. So we'll get into this momentarily. If you want to line up with some calls, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but here's what I want you to do. On the break here, we're going to take about a three and a half minute break, news, traffic, and weather together and all that. I don't know what you may have in the house. Maybe you have some Pepto. I usually keep a bottle of Pepto in my fridge. Maybe if you're Italian, if you're from my tribe, you have a little brioche. Oofa. You get the brioche, you got a little, you know, going there. So we got the Pepto, if you got the brioche, if you got Tums, or if you just chew gum and let out a little, you know, get ready, because trust me, kids, you're going to need it right after we do this. All right, so get this. Paul Bass writes this in the New Haven Independent, if you want to actually read this, because I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's a long, long, very detailed good piece of enterprise journalism from Paul, who I've known for about 30 years. We worked briefly in radio together. He worked at the old New Haven Advocate at the Register, and now he has the great New Haven Independent. Wanda Jeter Pataki, remember her? Just lost her job, her municipal job in Bridgeport. I'm not alleging anything criminal here. You know, Paul and I are just reporting the facts. But she apparently, it says here, quote, found a way to supplement her income while on paid leave from her Bridgeport City job, and while facing charges of ballot fraud, bringing crews, says here, of out-of-state non-citizens to marry as many as 100-plus Americans a month at New Haven City Hall. Wanda Jeter Pataki allegedly was bringing crews of out-of-state non-citizens to marry as many as 100-plus Americans a month at New Haven City Hall. On a recent day, she conducted 7 such marriages in New Haven City Hall. All 7 involved an Indian-born spouse and an American-born spouse. None came from New Haven, according to their marriage licenses. They claim they live in Houston, Waterbury, Queens, the Bronx, Long Island, and Chesapeake, Virginia. The story in the New Haven Independent continues. Oh, buckle up, folks. This gets better. The nuptial seekers mirrored similar groups showing up in city halls all throughout the state. Couples, mostly with one spouse from India or sometimes other nations, looking to marry an American allegedly from another state. In some cases, the dramatic new workload is tying up staffs trying to process marriage licenses and birth certificates for their own city residents. Those cities, including New Haven, as well as towns like Trumbull, have been wrestling with how to address the challenge and enable their own citizens to get licenses and birth certificates while working in the limits of the law. The story continues. I got a lot more here for you, so buckle up. As Wanda Jeter Pataki accompanied one of the spouses through the hallway, the spouse was asked if she was being paid, as rumored, to engage in the marriage. Tell him no, quote-unquote, Jeter Pataki advised the woman. Quote, no, I'm not, the woman then replied. Quoting again, this is a reporter, Jeter Pataki then informed men and women scattered on benches and in the hallway outside the first floor registrar's office in New Haven, directing them not to answer any questions. A man working in tandem with Wanda Jeter Pataki took out his phone and began recording this reporter, meaning Paul Bass, while ordering him to stop taking photos and to leave the City Hall building in New Haven. Oh, it gets better. Over the month leading up to October 15th, Wanda Jeter Pataki served as Justice of the Peace in 114 marriages at New Haven City Hall. That's according to documents obtained under the Connecticut Freedom of Information Act. Overall, the number of marriage licenses in New Haven granted in that month-long period quadrupled to almost 400 from a year ago, fueled by out-of-state marriages. Wanda Jeter Pataki was asked if the people she was marrying live in New Haven. She replied, yes, they do, quote-unquote. In fact, as the Independent reports, in only 3 of those 114 marriages did any of the applicants list New Haven as their city of residence. Most of the marriages involved one spouse from abroad, 79 involved a spouse from India, another 36 from nations ranking from Georgia, that's Soviet Georgia, or old Russian Georgia, not the state of Georgia, and Tajikistan, to Turkey, Russia, Egypt, and Jamaica. Her burgeoning work comes at a time when the number of marriages conducted in New Haven has exploded, especially marriages involving one Indian immigrant. The phenomenon now, folks, this is the part that drives you nuts. A New Haven City employee, now this is me talking, not the article here. We'll talk to Paul Bass about this in a little over an hour, 3:35. Be around for that. You may remember we talked about this in the news. A New Haven City employee knew there was something going on. She was a longtime city employee. And she, if you remember, she contacted the feds on this. And all the immigrants groups and the immigrants rights groups and even Mayor Justin Elliker in New Haven were aghast that she did this. Now I'll pick up with the story just so you know who we're talking about here. The burgeoning war comes at a time when the number of marriages conducted in New Haven has exploded, especially marriages involving one Indian immigrant. That phenomenon caught the attention of New Haven's previous registrar, Patricia Clark. She notified the federal government of her suspicions about the honesty of these marriages. Clark later resigned from her job after being placed on leave pending an investigation, finding that she violated a New Haven City policy forbidding officials from reporting suspicions about immigration to federal authorities, as well as other violations of city policies and procedures. You remember this? And at the time, I was reading this story going, you know, people like Patricia Clark, and I don't know her, but I've known other registrars, they go by the book. And if they think something's funky, if they think there are sham marriages or sham birth certificates, they don't like it because they see it. And they can sniff this out. They can tell when a couple is really in love or not. So the city of my birth, New Haven, and don't think this doesn't go on in Bridgeport and in Hartford and in Danbury and in Waterbury and all over the state. The city of New Haven basically rode her out on a rail because she had the gall to call the feds and she violated a city ordinance in New Haven. Really? The city of my birth, now burgeoning with leftists because she thought the marriage process was being abused. Which apparently it was. Oh, there's a lot more on this, kids. We got a whole bunch more for you here. The number of such marriages, suspected sham marriages, has increased since Clark's departure. So they got her out of the way. And people, you know, funneling these marriages through New Haven and likely through other cities and towns all across Connecticut. They don't want people who raise their hands and say, hey, our laws are being abused. Several justices of the peace told the New Haven Independent that marriage brokers have repeatedly contacted them to conduct these unions, offering a minimum of $100 for the work, which, if, says the New Haven Independent, if Wanda Jeter Pataki collects that rate, she would have earned over $11,000 in 1 month. That boom has has led to a boom in marriages at New Haven City Hall, with regular gatherings of couples filling the halls and offices, often under the direction of Wanda Jeter Pataki, who's the busiest justice of the peace, according to city officials. Oh, there's a lot more to this, kids. Keep it here. If you want to read the article, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/voice. Of CT. Steve Harding is with us, Republican state senate leader. Steve, good afternoon, and I guess congratulations is in order. You won your race, correct?
Yeah, Paul, thank you very much. It was a nice victory on Tuesday night, and I was also fortunate enough to be reelected Senate Republican leader at our caucus on Thursday, yesterday. So it's
great.
Been a very exciting, humbling, and nice few days here.
So yeah, thank you, Paul. Excellent. So a couple things before we get to some election odds and ends with a couple of questionable races here. Steve, I know you and the Republican caucus and a lot of my friends up there read that excellent piece of reporting in the New Haven Independent about, look, we don't want to say things are illegal because a lot of stuff looks tawdry, but it's not. But I guess, Steve, with what's been going on here allegedly in New Haven is just, as your caucus always says, another example here of stuff staring us right in the face and we do nothing about it with some of these questionable marriages in New Haven. And a woman that did mention it, Steve, last year got railroaded out of her job.
Yeah, it really is unfortunate that individuals that see a potential violation of the law see something troubling, questioning, puzzling, is basically pushed out of the way in our system here in Connecticut, and that's entirely wrong. Because when you see what has happened with in this article that you referenced and this report, there is clearly something at least very strange, to say the very least, about what has occurred in New Haven and with Wanda Jeter Pataki, with individuals marrying out-of-country individuals,
yeah,
on this frequent basis, and Wanda Jeter Pataki walking around City Hall with clipboards, telling them not to speak with reporters, telling them to say no when asked if an individual is being paid for this. And also, you know, not for nothing, this is something where, you know, individuals could be completely taken advantage of on this particular
sure.
case. This is not only violations of the law potentially and finding loopholes within our immigration system, but larger than that, much larger than that, is that it potentially has individuals being completely taken advantage of. And that's just plain wrong if that is the case. And so all we're asking for is allow this to see the light of day, look into this, find out what is really occurring, and if violations of the law have occurred, prosecute those individuals to the fullest extent of the law. That's the only way we're going to address fraud and any level of corruption within our government, is by exposing it and prosecuting it.
Yeah, and I would think, Steve, you folks, you guys and gals in the Republican caucus there in both chambers won't be quiet until we at least hear something from, you know, Governor Lamont and or, you know, Attorney General William Tong and maybe some of your compadres on the other side of the aisle. I don't think they've said anything yet. Now, the story's only been out there a couple of days, but are they going to say anything? I don't know.
I certainly hope so, and I think it's incumbent upon them as representatives of their constituency here in Connecticut to say something. And I really simply turn a blind eye because of an individual that may be well-connected politically or is a certain party affiliation. You know, that's just plain wrong. Politics should have no role in individuals violating the law, potentially committing fraud. You know, that's where politics needs to be put aside. And basically, if you're not looking to investigate or not looking to address an issue because someone's a certain political party or somebody is well politically connected, et cetera, then frankly, you shouldn't be doing your job. You have not deserved the vote of your constituency. So I certainly do hope that, you know, people on all government officials on all sides of the political aisle call for an investigation here. And ultimately, if fraud is uncovered or illegality is uncovered, ask for the fullest prosecution as well.
All right, Steve, couple things here in the 2 minutes we have left. I know that the caucus is highlighting in what was generally a pretty good election day and a run-up to it in Connecticut. Couple of things that you folks are concerned about. I guess one was in Torrington and one was in a state Senate seat in which UConn students were bussed in and offered pizza. So can you talk about those two things, Steve?
Well, I mean, yeah, one of the things that I find alarming regarding the Mansfield, the UConn situation, is that there's significant questions on whether or not those students were being properly registered prior to voting. And even more importantly, whether or not those individuals were being verified, if those individuals either have not voted in the previous registered district, or whether or not they were registered somewhere else. You know, pursuant to law, the registrars are required to make good faith effort to verify if an individual is doing same day registration, to verify with another town if that individual is still registered there or has already voted. And my understanding is there's significant questions on whether or not that was done. You know, this is the bedrock of a democracy, is voting in elections. And if we can't have security in it and put protocols and follow protocols to ensure that there's not fraud within the election system, you're going to create at least a significant doubt in our system. We can't have that. So it was certainly questionable what has occurred there. We're going to be looking into that as well in the coming days.
And the Torrington situation, Steve, was what exactly? Because I see there's some concern about that.
We have no idea at this point. There's again a lot of questionable things that have to be sorted out. There's going to be a recount of the absentee ballot votes and the same day registration votes, I believe, going on Tuesday. It's all because there were numbers that were put in that were potentially incorrect. Things weren't working in the system. Tabulators were broken. It was a complete mess, from what I understand. And so I'm very interested to see what the recount bears out, because there's certainly a lot of questions and speculation surrounding what ultimately led us to a long delay in reporting and ultimately no reporting as of yet in terms of numbers in Torrington.
Interesting. Steve Harding. Steve, thanks. Enjoy the victory. Enjoy the weekend. And we'll talk down the road. Thank you, sir.
Will do, Paul. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thanks. State Senate Republican leader once again, Steve Harding. He's 30th District, which is around Greater Brookfield and that area in the northwestern part of the state. We've had Erica Ahern on before, Connecticut resident. She's the associate editor for the Catholic Vote and the Loop to talk about this. Hey, Erica, it's Paul here again at WICC. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to talk to you again.
I am seeing, 58% of Catholics? I know it's a little different from exit poll to exit poll. Is that about what you're seeing? Is that the number you see?
Yeah, we're seeing astonishing numbers out of the Catholic vote from this time around. I mean, we knew it was going to be good, but this is exceeding even our expectations. So right now we're going 56 to 58% of Catholics went for Trump. Kamala only managed to net around 40% of the Catholic vote. And of course, the leftovers there being people who didn't vote for either. But this is a massive swing, considering that Biden carried the Catholic vote by about 53. So we're looking at a major swing in our demographic.
And why is that? Because there are a lot of people, and you've heard the debates, Erica. Hey, all right, Trump may be good on foreign policy and everything, but how could any self-respecting Catholic, you know, vote for this guy? You know, you can check off the stuff of the Ten Commandments that he doesn't adhere to. So talk about that. What do you think why did he carry so many of the Catholic vote?
Yeah, I mean, I think we heard a lot of that. Catholic vote endorsed him back in January of 2024, and we caught a lot of flack for that, for all the reasons that you just listed, and even worse. And I think that the big a couple of reasons come to mind looking at the results and analysis. So Kamala Harris, of course, one of the probably the most anti-Catholic, anti-religious freedom candidate that we have ever seen in American history. And then for her to also bring on board Tim Walz from Minnesota, also known for being extremely progressive. She, as DA in California, as the Attorney General out in California, she was prosecuting pro-lifer Daniel Dalyden for his undercover work with Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. When she was a senator, she was, telling federal judge nominees that their membership in the Knights of Columbus would disqualify them.
Yeah, that I remember. That, and that kind of said, and full disclosure, I used to work for the Knights, but go ahead.
There you go. Well, awesome. We love our Knights. And then, of course, snubbing the Al Smith dinner. The Al Smith dinner in New York, big Catholic tradition. Yeah. A lot of people don't even know it's there, but it made headlines and it was another blow on the Catholic side. But a big reason, I think, is that Donald Trump, on the issues that actually matter to Catholics, and people will say, well, he's so, he doesn't meet Catholic social teaching. Mm-hmm. Well, Open borders are an affront to Catholic social teaching. Open borders are an affront to the principle of charity and patriotism that animate many of our Catholic voters. And, an economy that punishes the poorest among us, and inflation being the worst of all government taxes on the lower class, that's a violation of Catholic social teaching. And, of course, the abortion issue. Donald Trump is not perfect. We have never pretended that he is perfect on that issue. And we have a lot of work to do with the pro-life movement in his administration, making sure we keep our seat at the table. But Kamala Harris represented the most extreme abortion positions of all, up to the moment of birth for any reason. She even, in one of the few interviews that she gave during her 107-day candidacy, she said that she did not believe that we should have conscience exceptions for physicians who didn't want to perform abortions. Catholic hospitals should be shut down if they don't offer abortions. Mm. That kind of rhetoric is so extreme that the choice was very clear. And I think through the work of Catholic Vote and other organizations to just inform voters of who they were actually choosing between, and to ignore all the rhetoric of demagogue and Trump is Hitler, I think Catholics heard it loud and clear. And we vote on policy, not on personality.
Erica Ahern, thanks, Erica, Associate Editor for Catholic Vote and Loop, and we'll surely have you on the program in the future. Erica, good to speak with you. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Yes. Thank you. You too. God bless.
All right. Erica Ahern there.